Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of February 5th, and it's focused primarily on Isaiah chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Isaiah chapter 1, but especially verses 12 to 18. Call to worship is from Psalm 34, verse 3, and Psalm 122, verse 1, from the NIV. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Amen. Today I would like to share some thoughts with you from Isaiah chapter 1, especially verses 12 to 18. I'll begin by reading verses 12 to 14. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. If your first response to this passage is surprise, that was mine as well when I read these verses. After all, aren't these the activities the Lord commanded his people to do with the threat of being excluded from among his people if they were neglected? The trampling of my courts, the Lord speaking of his temple. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Why is the Lord so upset with his people that he can't bear their assemblies at his temple? Let's for a moment imagine the people's response to God's words in verses 12 to 14. They might say something like, "How can you say that? Look at what we're doing for you at your temple. The offerings, the sacrifices, and the festivals are just as you required of us. We are giving you the very best that we have." Now, between you and I, we can note that unlike other times in Israel and Judah's history, there's no mention here that the animals being offered are sick or substandard. That is not the issue. So why is the Lord charging his people with turning their backs on him? They seem quite busy in their service and worship of him. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 12 to 18 forms part of this opening chapter, chapter 1, where the Lord is calling the heavens and the earth to bear witness, to witness his case against the nation of Judah. Now, while a court case setting may sound like it's going to be formal and impersonal, it is not. Listen to the passion and personal nature of verses 2 and 3. The Lord is speaking. "Hear me, you heavens. Listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand." The word of the Lord. Once while I was visiting a rancher, he took me to see his cattle. As we drove onto the field, they all stopped eating and looked up and watched as the truck approached. When the rancher got out of his truck, the cattle started coming toward him. But when I got out and walked over by the rancher, they all stopped and they wouldn't come any closer. These animals could recognize the difference between their owner and a stranger. Yet we read here, the people of Israel, those God had raised and cared for, did not acknowledge him as their God. How sad. In Hebrews chapter 11, we looked at faith and those who put their faith in God. We saw that in this setting of Hebrews chapter 11, faith and trust, those words are virtually interchangeable. Those who walked by faith in God put their trust in God and showed their trust in him through their actions. So again and again, we see the phrase, by faith, by faith, by faith, and it goes on to explain what the individual did. Faith in God, trust in God, was a way of life for them. It is to be a way of life, not merely a collection of religious activities on a special day or two. Our trust in God, our faith, develops out of our relationship with him as we grow to know him and understand those things which are close to his heart. In this passage in Isaiah, in essence, the Lord is saying, the way these people are acting, they don't know me at all. They can't be my people. They aren't my people because this is not who I am. Let me continue reading. Listen, in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. The reason the Lord is rejecting the very things he asked his people to do in his honor is because their actions outside of the temple show that they have no real regard for what really matters to the Lord. In other words, their hearts are not in sync with their religious-looking actions. They lived self-serving lives, even when it came to their relationship with God. They helped and served those who could help them and ignored or took advantage of those who couldn't help them or stop them, the oppressed, the orphans, and the widows. These are the very ones the Lord God had challenged his people not to overlook, because they are especially dear to his heart. What is the problem? What is the problem here? We cannot try to appease God with religious activity and hope he won't notice or care about how we live the rest of our lives. We can't try to appease him or bribe him with religious activity and hope that he won't notice how we're really living. God cares as much about how we treat others as how we treat him. Now, I think that's something we just don't get, because we are interacting with God from our own selfish perspective. God cares as much about how we treat others as how we treat him. I'm reminded of Jesus' balanced response to the question, what is the greatest commandment? This question is essentially asking, what can I do that is going to please God the most? What's the most pleasing thing I can do for God? And you can hear the undertones here. This can be very self-serving. Jesus answers with balance. He says, love God and love others. Here's Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40 from the New Living Translation. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. These two commandments. Love God and love others. Going through the ritual of worship without a changed heart does not please God. Jesus says what is essential is a relationship with God based on love. Out of a growing relationship of appreciating the heart of God for his children, we are to show love to others as we love ourselves. You know, it's easy to look at Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 to 18, and shake our heads at those people. But are we really any better? We do not offer animal sacrifices, so we can't be guilty of doing that insincerely. However, how about other things? How about the sacrifice of our time? How about the sacrifice of praise? Sometimes I've gotten caught up in the music of a song and I realize I've given little thought to the words. Have you ever found yourself singing a familiar hymn and your mind is somewhere else? Not on the meaning of the words you're singing? Or have you had a conversation in your head that you make a deal with God? You say to him, God, you look the other way about this, and you can fill in the blank about what that activity might be, and I'll be in church on Sunday. God, you look the other way about what I do on Friday, and I'll be in church on Sunday. After 3,000 years, 3,000 plus years, we see humanity has not changed. Isaiah chapter 1 reminds us we still struggle with sin and we try to manipulate God. Isaiah chapter 1 should remind us that it didn't work then and it still won't work today. Have we forgotten who we are dealing with? Perhaps we have. Perhaps we have. Let's be reminded again of our compassionate God who holds us accountable but invites us back into a relationship with him. Our God, who in the second person of the Trinity took on flesh and blood, lived among us, and gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins. He invites us back. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. It's almost hard to imagine. After reading the Lord's hurt and disappointment for how his people are behaving, how they are treating one another so heartlessly that he still extends a hand of forgiveness and saying, come, let's settle this. Yes, you have sinned, but that sin can be forgiven. These words from Isaiah chapter 12, or chapter 1, verses 12 to 18, are meant for our good, for our healing. The rebuke is intended to reform us and rebuild our relationship with God and also with one another. With one another. It's to change the way we live. Yes, we'll worship God in church, in his temple, but we're also to worship him through how we treat one another as human beings, as people God created and loved. God wants a living, growing relationship with us. He doesn't want us going through the motions of ritual just for their own sake. Obedience flowing out of a loving relationship with our God is what he desires. In your prayer time, in your work, in your interaction with your family, and also during the Lord's Supper, receive and rejoice in God's love for you, and then let his love flow through you to others for his glory and to honor him with your life. Amen. In our church service, we're going to close the service by singing the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. May that be our prayer also. Let me close with a benediction. Lord, send us out today as your children, as those who care more about loving and serving you than exalting ourselves. May you keep us from filling our lives with religious ritual rather than a relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. I trust you have been encouraged and will continue to spend time reflecting on God's word from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 12 to 18.